You're listening to the Spicy Dividend.
Hey, hey, what is up, everyone? It is Scott with the Spicy Dividend Podcast. This is episode 19. So we're going to go into the Twitterverse for a bunch of this one because it brings me to the emphasis on value. So I asked my Twitter followers, which is just at DGEN Dividends, D-E-G-E-N Dividends, no spaces or anything. I just ask, what stocks are you currently buying right now? What do you consider undervalued? Because I might have a boredom buy, which I ultimately did not end up buying any of the suggestions, but some of them were very good suggestions, and I'm going to talk about the suggestions that they did bring up, just some of my personal thoughts on them. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into what I deem value, and we're also going to talk about desperation and can you put your money when your mouth is when the money isn't quite there. So all that and more, let's get into episode 19. And so the concept of value kind of intrigued me. So I've made prior episodes where I talked about value. What is buying value? What is buying the dip? Is there such a thing as buying the dip? Yada, 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 since you can't time the market and all this other stuff. So what makes it so interesting is, you know, today the market was, I think the Dow Jones Industrial was down around 320 points. I'm recording this December 3rd. So the Dow was down 320 points yesterday. On Cyber Monday, it was down quite a bit, about 1% or so. Today, it's down about 1% or so. So, consecutive red days. And it's interesting because I follow a lot of people on Instagram, and a lot of them are saying, you know, don't sell, don't panic sell. You know, this is a buying opportunity. And in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, is this truly a buying opportunity? And it comes down to this, value is very subjective. Now, I know in the past I've said, you know, buying something that's on a like a 3% discount, if you want to call it a discount, that's not really buying the dip. And there's so many people out there that are just so like they have the biggest urge to scratch the itch of buying holdings. A lot of people get trigger happy when it comes to buying equities, and you can't really be trigger happy, especially if you're a dividend investor, because you want to buy at the lowest possible point to get the most value, to have the highest starting yield, and get the best yield on cost down the line. So it's always interesting to me what people consider buying opportunities, because even myself almost got caught in this trap today, because I was looking at Vanguard's high dividend ETF, VYM. I own that. And you know, I'm seeing it and it's down, I believe, at the market bottom today, which was around 10:30 or 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh man, like this would be a good time to buy, right? Like it's down 1%. And I'm looking at it on my Robinhood app, just a simple chart. And I zoom out 1 month and I zoom out 3 months and 6 months. And I'm realizing that, okay, like, yeah, it's down 1% today, maybe 2% for this week. But it's like up 7 to 10% in the past 3 months. It's up like 14% the past 6 months. So is that really a dip? And this is where everything becomes really subjective, right? Because ultimately, what you would consider a good buying opportunity is what you consider the market price is below what you consider fair value for the specific equity that you're looking at. And this can get rather confusing because you'll have a lot of people saying on days like this where it's red, but it's 1%, it's really nothing that a normal market fluctuation has to offer. You have people that are saying, this is a buying opportunity, buy, buy, buy. It's specifically like people on M1 Finance who, you know, I was on M1 Finance and you can buy like every single day with small amounts and buy fractionals. But when you're with a traditional brokerage and you just have to buy full shares, you can't just buy, 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 buy. You have to be a little bit more disciplined with your money because most good equities are going to be above the $50 mark. Now, I know I'm generalizing there, but you know that's to be true. A lot of the blue chip names are, you know, 50, 100, some are even hundreds of dollars just to purchase one share. So you have to be a little bit more picky, a little bit more thoughtful when you're buying full shares when in terms of value buying. So ultimately, you have to look at the details of the equity that you consider as a value. Now, I think the trap that I myself get caught in is not only do I look at daily charts, so if I see red like I did today and I see negative 1% on some of my holdings, it's like my brain just instantly says like, okay, purchase, it's red. You know, you buy when it's low, you sell when it's high, blah, 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 the basic market quotations, right? But you have to take a step back and just realize there's other underlying things going on here. Another trap that I look at is I look at charts. And if I see like a 1 week, if I'm looking at a 1 week chart and it's just nothing but downhill, which it is for a lot of my holdings right now, you got to zoom out even farther and you look at it a year and you realize, oh, it's been going straight up for this entire year. It's up 20%. So yeah, this is technically a dip, but it's not really cheap, as I would say. But this can also get you in trouble, and I think I need to take a step back and look at how I buy certain things and realize that that's not really a good mentality to have either. And this is why, because there's theoretically nothing to stop the equity from just increasing in value even more. So yeah, maybe it's up 20% year to date and it dips 1% today. Who's to say it's not going to go up another 20% in the following 12 months? You don't know. So the whole point of value buying is you really have to do a subjective analysis of what you think the fair value of the certain equity is. Now, there's very fast, simple ways that aren't necessarily accurate, but you can look at enterprise value. You can look at price to book ratio. And if the price to book ratio is really low, then that would be an indicator it's cheap. You can look at price to earnings ratio, PE ratio. You can look at PEG ratio to see if the future value is there. There's very simplified metrics out there that you can use that you can indicate, say, oh, okay, this is value. Like I said, it's all subjective. If you look at some of the positions today that fell 1-2%, some of them are already valued and some of them were overvalued, and this 1%, it doesn't put them anywhere near buy range. So I think the point that I'm trying to drive home here is that if you have a certain position that even dips like 5% in a week, it still could be overvalued. Don't get caught up. Don't get trigger happy. Don't get the feeling that just because something drops immediately that you have to purchase it immediately. And on the flip side, just because something is dropping today doesn't mean that it's going to be dropping in the future. You have to do subjective analysis on each of your positions that you plan on putting on your watch list or you have in your portfolio and you plan on purchasing more in the future. This is a lot of times where the DRIP, the dividend reinvestment programs, do come in handy because it kind of makes the portfolio take the wheel. And what I mean by that is if you do all of the research up front for your positions and you like the entry points that you make, you can just reinvest those dividends if they are dividend paying stocks and let the dividend reinvestment dates do the work for you in terms of cost averaging. It might not come at convenient times. You know, sometimes it just happens that coincidentally every single time the dividend gets paid from that certain holding and reinvested that the stock's at like all-time highs. It does happen. There are instances where that does happen, especially in bull markets. There's really nothing you can do. But that's one way to just like take your hands off of the wheel a little bit and just let your dividends do the talking for you. That's if you're a big believer in dividend reinvestment programs. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. I'm considering right now, I don't have any of my equities reinvested just because I like to do the purchasing myself. But who knows? I might change that in the future. It could be the near future. There are certain positions where I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should just let this one drip and not worry about it. Especially with my highest position. Right now, my highest position is ticker symbol PCI, PIMCO Credit and Dynamic Income Fund. I received a dividend payment last night of $96. I wanted to get to $100. So my initial plan was to just buy enough shares where I can get $100 a month and then never buy another share again. So the other way of doing that would just be to turn on the dividend enrollment. the DRIP program for that position, because it does have one through E-Trade, and just let it reinvest itself until it gets to $100. And considering it's monthly, and considering it's such a high amount, and the stock price itself is around $25, well, you're looking at it, roughly 4 new shares every single time, and it pays out roughly 22 cents a share. So you're close to a dollar every single time it gets reinvested. So by the end of next year, if I just reinvested the dividends, I would have $100 coming in from that position. I could theoretically turn it off from there, or just let it go and just let it grind, and I worry about buying other positions. That is one way I could do it. But also in the back of my head, I'm saying, wait a minute, this is my largest single position. Do I really want it to get any bigger, even though it is its own dividends? So that's another thing that I have to keep in mind. Is it worth it? It's such a high yielder. So there is a lot of risk into that. But it's all things that you have to consider within your own system. Remember my last podcast episode talking about sports systems? It's the same with your investing system or strategy that you stick with. You have to stick with it to make it the most effective. And I just need to figure out the game plan for what I want to do. I need to figure out the ultimate long-term strategy for my particular holdings right now. I really like how my portfolio structure right now, 46% bonds, 54% equities. I do have some international exposure. I'd like to bump that a little bit, but my international exposure is with VYMI, Vanguard's International High Dividend Fund. I would like to boost that a little bit, but 46% bonds, extremely conservative, because I personally like a little conservative nature with my riskier holdings that are also there in very high amounts. And in cases like today, I don't know if you noticed, look at a lot of the bond funds, like pretty much every single bond fund that I had today, even though the market in general was very red, the bonds were complete opposite, very green. So it's kind of like a counter market maneuver, anti-market, inverse. I cannot think of the, I know there's a finance term out there for what's essentially like inverse of the market, but ultimately, that's what my bonds are providing me. And even when the markets are green, the bonds don't necessarily tank or anything, because that's not, they're not truly inverse. They'll just usually just remain flat, and I get that nice yield, nice compounding monthly yield. That's why I love these bond ETFs. So everything's monthly. I hit a bunch of ex-dividend dates today. Pretty much all of my bond funds, for whatever reason, were ex-dividend dates of today. So, and the glory about them is that the dividend payable date is like 3 to 5 days after. So it's very quick. It's a very quick turnaround. I really like that about these funds. So I'll be seeing that money by the end, or I should say by the beginning of next week. So that's the talk about value. Let's get into the Twitterverse. All right, so let me pull up Twitter here. So I want to make sure I get the exact question that I asked. So, okay, so this is what I put out to my followers. And again, my Twitter is just at DGenDividends. I said, everyone, what is your most undervalued stock you are buying right now? Might do some Borden buying. I will give you a shout out on my podcast if I buy your position. Well, I didn't buy any positions, but I will give everyone who responded a nice little shout out here. So I will say the name of the person, and then I will say what position they did, or I'll just say the tweet that they gave me, and then I will comment why I did not buy or why it made me think twice. So the first one came from Abdullah Amir. Thanks for being a big fan. I know you are. The first ticker symbol he gave was WM, which is Waste Management. I honestly think that Waste Management is still overvalued. This one, along with a lot of utilities, got extremely eaten up. Utilities are really overbought, in my opinion, right now. And Waste Management, even though it's not technically a utility, it fits the bill kind of. And I believe it's overvalued. It's starting to correct a little bit, but it's nowhere near the range that I consider undervalued. And then he also said, this is from Abdul Amir, Clorox, ExxonMobil, IBM, Cisco, and BHP, which is BP oil. Oil, so Exxon and BHP, I honestly don't have too much exposure. And that's kind of shocking considering that I am a high dividend investor. And I do want to look into the oil industry a little bit more. Exxon, one that he did suggest, ticker symbol XOM, I am going to be doing the research on that one more. Clorox I've owned in the past. It's just not too exciting for me. And I know, realize that owning Clorox stock is not a sexy position to begin with. IBM, I'm just staying away from IBM. I do not believe in it at all. I'm just not a fan of it. I know that's a PPC in purchase, but I just do not have any interest in IBM. So Clorox I've had in the past. Now I have exposure with VOIM. I'm not interested in that one right now. But ExxonMobil, I looked at the charts real quickly for ExxonMobil and BHP. I was looking at long-term charts and technical analysis trends. And basic fundamental ratios as well. And Exxon is one that is interesting to me. I'm going to do some more research. I'm going to do more research into oil in general. So the next tweet came from Dependable Dividends. And he said, I've been finding a lot of good deals, oddly enough, on 52-week high lists. So he lists Disney, McCormick, SBI, which is a Texas bank. He lists FAF, which is title insurance, SYY, Cisco, and MDT, which is Medtronic. So Medtronics, I got to be honest, I am scared shitless to invest in anything healthcare related right now. I want to see how the election unfolds. I mean, you could be buying deep discount value after the election unfolds if we get a Democrat in office and they just want to have major healthcare reform. I'm just staying away from anything medical right now. That's just me. Cisco Food Distribution, again, I see absolutely no problems if you're a dividend growth investor going for Cisco. That is a home run hitter. Little talked about, doing very well recently. It just doesn't fit the bill for something that I'm interested in. Disney, pretty much everyone and their mother owns Disney. I'm not going to complain with that. Just not up my alley, but seriously, I'm not arguing anyone who wants to invest in Disney. McCormick, this is an interesting one because McCormick makes a lot of spices and I actually enjoy their product thoroughly. I used a bunch of it today in my beans and salsa. But this one, I believe, is a little bit overvalued. Now, so I know he said he's finding good deals with it, even though they're at all-time highs. This one, I feel, is a little bit overvalued. It'll be interesting to see. It's kind of, you could argue something like this, and spices is a kind of a recession-proof stock just because, you know, their inventory doesn't really spoil. And if it does, it's from very long shelf life periods. So, I mean, I wouldn't fault anyone who likes McCormick. I think I did own it in the past when I went crazy on the M1 Finance holdings. But for me, not right now, would it have to be a little bit cheaper for me to have serious interest? If it did, if the price did go down 10 to 20%, I would be interested in McCormick. I do like the industry itself. So we'll see about that one. And then I'm glad he mentioned SBSI, which is a Texas bank, and FAF, which is it First Act Financial? I know it's a title insurance company, but because I thought, and again, I kind of want to punch myself in the face for not realizing this sooner. I thought I was undervalued in terms of insurance and banking, especially banking. I thought I was really undervalued in banking, but then I looked at VYM, which is Vanguard's high dividend ETF, and realized that, you know, the number one holding is JP Morgan Chase, and I believe 18% of the holdings, I could be wrong on that, I think I checked it 2 days ago, but I believe 18% of the holdings in VYM are actually from financials. So that includes banking, and that includes insurance companies. And that is actually the largest percentage of VYM's holdings. So the fact that I own a bunch of VYM means that I do have a decent amount of exposure to the financial sector. So thank you, Dependable Dividends, for those suggestions. Absolutely nothing wrong with any of those holdings. For me, just not value right now, or they just don't fit the bill of what I'm trying to fit in my system. But I appreciate the feedback, and there's nothing wrong with any of those stocks mentioned. So the next one comes from my buddy, the Broke Investor. Broke Investor, if you're listening to this, you got to teach me how to make those Instagram posts where they're like videos. They kind of look like Snapchats, but they're like, they show up as like pictures, but they're video. Anyway, yeah, I know you know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, he suggested ticker symbol APLE. This is Apple Hospitality REIT. This is one that I've considered owning for a very long time. However, I never pulled the trigger. It has a very nice dividend yield. So it pays 10 cents every single month per share. And the stock price, I believe, right now is in the low to mid teens. So very affordable position. This is a REIT. They own a lot of hotel chains, both low end and high end. So I don't know. I'm just getting scared buying hotels with the rise of Airbnb. I've seen firsthand the power of Airbnb and just how much is getting utilized, how cheaper, how much cheaper it is for the end user. And, you know, it's a profit mechanism for some landlords. And to me, Uber and Lyft have major, major issues. But Airbnb, we're just at the early stages of Airbnb, and I think it's a home run. I mean, seriously, I mean, with Lyft and Uber, like if you are the Uber driver, there's so much you have to worry about with depreciation on the car that you ultimately like break even and you have to work a lot of hours. With Airbnb, you know, if it's like a second house or you have a spare bedroom or whatever, you don't really spend any more money and you don't have to put much work into it. You just have to keep track of your tenants from Airbnb. I think Airbnb is awesome. I think it's going to take a huge chunk out of hotels. I mean, if you're just holding Apple Hospitality REIT for the next like 5 to 10 years, though, I think you'll be fine. There's no like immediate disruption, but I think in the future Airbnb could be an absolute monster, and we're going to see a change in the shift of how people stay in different cities. Okay, the next one comes from where is it? So Elliot, this is at ECHENO. He's saying Ally Bank. And again, nothing wrong with Ally. I did look into it. I believe it is a little bit undervalued. So I would agree that it is a good undervalued, even though it is approaching a decent price point. I shouldn't say it's necessarily undervalued, Ally. I would say it's fair value right now. But again, I do have more exposure than I realized to the financial sector. So I'm glad I got this question out there, because, you know, these responses made me think like, oh, yeah, I don't have exposure to that. But it made me triple check my portfolio and like, oh, yeah, I actually do have exposure to that. Maybe not that particular holding, but that sector. And, you know, as long as you're decently diversified across a wide range of sectors, you don't necessarily need every single undervalued position. The next one comes from John at Yield Juicer. I love that ticker name. He says either IVZ or PRU, which is Prudent Financial. And why can I not remember what IVZ? Oh, IVZ is something I'm definitely not approaching at all. And again, with ticker symbol PRU. Again, I don't need any more financial exposure, but I do believe Prudential is has a little bit more value there than a lot of the other suggestions that I've been getting. And then Brian S. Weinstein says MMM, 3M company. I know this is a PBC Ian favorite right now. He's been buying a lot of shares recently. 3M, they're a little bit intriguing to me. Conglomerates in general intrigue me. And yes, 3M is definitely a value position right now. So if you want to buy value, 3M is definitely right up there. I want to research 3M a little bit more. I know I used to own them, and they are an aristocrat. So, and I believe I own 3M indirectly through VYM. So it probably is not my best interest to buy them individually, but I do want to research 3M a little bit more, because for some reason they've been on what I would consider a deep discount for a long time now. So another one from my good buddy, Jerzier. He said he's buying DAL, which is Delta Airlines, and PFE, which is Pfizer. He's also been looking at SIX6 and Cardinal Health. And like I said, I'm staying far away from Cardinal Health. But I'm glad he said this, because he said buying DAL, Delta Airlines. I don't have any airline exposure. And if I do have any airline exposure, it's through VYM, and it's very, very minimal. So I did research a lot more into the airline industry because of this tweet. So thank you, Jerzier. And I realized that even though I don't have exposure to it, it's not necessarily a industry that I want to get so involved with, because the dividend yields are just not juicy. They're not there. And there is plenty of room for dividend increase potential. But the yields right now, in my opinion, are not worth the hassle of getting into these positions. Because when I think of airlines, and this could be a personal bias, when I think of airlines, I always think of American Airlines, because I think it's the largest. And I look at their dividend yield right now, it's very, very low, even though their revenues are really high, especially for an airline industry. And I'm thinking, if they're not going to be increasing it, if their price is fluctuating the way it is, why would I be a believer in any other flights? I mean, I've flown so many American Airlines flights. I've never flown any other flight. Maybe so this is a personal bias coming out, but I always just think American Airlines when I think of flying. And if I have no interest in American Airlines as a stock, why would I want to buy anything else? So, but I am very grateful, Jersier, that you brought up the idea of it. I think airlines are extremely undervalued, but they're more for growth positions rather than dividend positions, in my opinion. Next one from S-C-H-A-R-D, Shard. Shard 2 is his name. He said he added ticker symbol PRU, and he also added IMBBY, which is Imperial Brands. Imperial Brands. And then he also did a ticker symbol XOM, Exxon, and TXN, which I have not, I think is Texas Instruments. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Imperial Brands, and he got a bunch of responses as well saying Imperial Brands is one to buy. So not only did Shard here suggest Imperial Brands, but so did the Dividend Principal, and so did DivBoy. And I'm looking at Imperial Brands, I'm going, my God, this is a deep discount. It's yielding around 10% right now. But I believe Imperial Brands is a international stock, and I don't want to deal with those tax complications. It's a little bit different than VYMI because it's an American ETF, even though it has international holdings. This is strictly an international play, and I don't like that at all. But besides that, Imperial Brands is pretty much smoking. So it's, you know, it's just a different version of Altria, if you want to call it that. And I just do not have any desire to get into industry. Look, I'm a degenerate gambler, but smoking is just something that I could never, ever, ever get behind. It's not one of those things where I could just say like, oh, you know, let adults make adult decisions if they want to ruin their lives. You know, so be it. With smoking, it's just like, you know, you're kind of fucking over everyone else. Like if they have no intention of smoking, they can't stand secondhand smoke like I can't stand. And if you're just puffing it in their face, you know, they didn't make that choice to get smoke, you know, just drilled into their lungs. It's not what they wanted. So it's just an industry that I cannot get behind. So those were the suggestions from Twitter. I greatly appreciate them. Those are my thoughts on the suggestions. Oh, let's get into the next part. All right, so this final segment of the podcast is going to talk about desperation. So let me take you back to a slightly younger, more idiotic Scott, a slightly more degenerate person. So I would say I was about 23, 24 years old or whatever I was. And I just started getting into stocks. Like this was after the original stocks that I bought, which was Starbucks and Whole Foods. I just started buying, and my first like real compounding stock that I bought was Good and Glad. So Gladstone Commercial Corp and Gladstone Investment Corp. I forget what Glad is. Gladstone Financial or whatever it is. Ticker symbol GLAD and ticker symbol Good, which is Gladstone Real Estate. I had about $3,000 invested between the two. And that was pretty much all I had on E-Trade after I sold Starbucks and Whole Foods. Well, I didn't sell Whole Foods. They got bought out. But anyway, there comes a time when a degenerate gambler does just that and becomes a degenerate. And I actually sold, I think, $1,500 worth of Gladstone Commercial Corp just so I could gamble for about 3 months. So after that point, and of course I lost gambling, and that was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me, is that I lost that night, well, those next couple months with that $1,500 in seed money, is that it makes you realize, you know, what are your priorities? And the priorities are, it should be your personal finances, your personal wealth, right? Your individual, your portfolios, your 401k, every aspect to your future and your welfare right now, you should be taking it very seriously. That should be a high priority. And I bring up desperation. Why do I bring up desperation? Because, you know, recently I've had a really bad run with gambling, so much so that I've pretty much stopped for the past month or so. And my bank account is rather low, but I still continue with my daily investments into my portfolio. Now, in terms of how my bank account is right now, maybe it's not necessarily ideal that I keep depositing every single day, but the portfolio right now is my priority. The individual portfolio is a priority. And the reason I'm bringing up desperation is because, look, when your bank account is low and you want to contribute to your portfolio at a high rate like I am right now, minimum of $30 to $40 every single day going into the portfolio. When you want to do that, you really have to believe in your holdings. So if you had a gun to your head, would you or would you not sell your holdings right now if you were forced to? Can you hold these positions longer than 2 years? Are you in any desperation to sell? Desperation in my case was, look, my bank account's getting very low, and I'm still putting money into the portfolio. So I don't feel that sense of desperation, even though my bank account is getting lower and lower. It's just me being an idiot with gambling, and I'm fine with money management. Like, I can afford food and everything. It's not like I'm struggling to make ends meet here. But what I'm saying is my bank account is much lower than it has been over the past couple months, and I don't feel endangered putting more money into my portfolio after making stupid financial decisions, because I believe in my holdings. I am very supportive of the holdings. I'm very happy the way my portfolio is structured. If you are in a situation like this where your bank account's very low, but you want to continue to fund your account, are you confident enough in your positions where you could throw money in them theoretically every day? Look, I prefer to buy when stocks are a little bit cheaper and yeah, I get a better value, especially now that I'm buying whole shares rather than fractional shares. I prefer to buy at a value. But if you forced me, if for some reason I was forced to buy any one of my positions at any single point in time, I would have no issue doing it. You know what I mean? There isn't any position where I'm like, well, you know, I can't buy any more of that. It's like, I'm not really a believer in it. You have to believe in every single position that you hold. Otherwise, desperation might kick in. And it's like, oh, if your bank account's getting low, oh, I can't invest in my portfolio right now. I need more money for myself right now. You know, that's more important to me. And if that's the case, then your portfolio is not constructed to that, to your risk tolerance. So everyone's going to have a different risk tolerance than one another, but the way my portfolio is constructed, where I have high yielders and I have 46% in bond funds, I feel relatively safe investing into my portfolio at any time. So if I had to buy bonds today, or if I had to buy PCI or O or Maine or any of my other big holdings, GLPI, if I had to buy them tomorrow, I have no issue with it. You know, if I was, for some reason, someone was about to pull the trigger and said, you better buy one of these positions right now, I would not be in any mental disarray from that. So is your portfolio constructed where you could theoretically invest every single day at all-time highs with no problems whatsoever? If not, you might want to reconsider the holdings that you do have and wondering, why do I hold a certain position? Maybe I should restructure it so it's a little more deserving of my hard-earned cash. So this has been Scott with the Spicy Dividend Podcast, episode 19. I hope you enjoyed this one. You can follow me on Instagram at Instagram is Degenerate Dividends. Twitter is Degen Dividends. I also have the Degenerate Dividend Podcast on YouTube if you want to leave comments there. Thank you so much for dealing with the advertisements. I mean, I know I'm putting one in the beginning and two in the middle now, but I'm just doing it to break up the sections. And I'm also, hey, I see more than 1 cent per view now. It's like 2 cents per view. Yay. So seriously, thank you all for listening to the podcast. I appreciate it immensely. And I appreciate everyone who mingles with me on Twitter. I appreciate it. The fact that anyone is out there listening to me right now just ramble into a microphone sitting on a Walmart $20 desk with a computer monitor propped up on Xbox 360 games. It's just awesome to me. The fact that there is even a chance to make money off of it. Thank you so much for listening. You can contact me on any social media. See you guys in episode 20.